welcome along to this week's edition of The Assist, sponsored by Free Super Tips. I'm Warren Ashurst, and once again, I'm joined by Mark Langdon and Dan Charles to look ahead to the weekend's action. It's been a busy week on and off the pitch, of course, with the January transfer window closing on Monday evening, and there was plenty of Premier League activity as well, incomings and outgoings along the way. Mark, we'll start with you. What do you think in terms of the best bit of business then that a Premier League team have done?
Well, I think the best bit of business that I can see actually was an outgoing. I mean, John Duran for like 65 million, might come back to bite me. He could turn into a superstar forward, but like there hasn't been anywhere near enough evidence that he's worth that type of money yet. You know, done well off the bench mainly, scored some spectacular goals, but all round play for 65 million feels enormous, really. And I'm not sure that Villa were going to get that type of offer again. So I think they've done well to get that 65 million. He was a player that was always moaning and wanting a move anyway. So he probably wasn't the best around the dressing room. I mean, one of the more interesting signings, only a loan deal, but I'm going to go for Evan Ferguson, that's you know, arrived at West Ham. It wasn't that long ago that people were talking about him being the next sort of best thing really to come out of the Premier League, and hasn't worked for him for a while now at Brighton. I think he's had a couple of injuries, lacked rhythm, not been in the starting lineup, and maybe like Hertzler wants a different type of forward. But I just remember him, particularly under De Zerbi, having a spell where he was talk of the town, wasn't he, in terms of centre forwards. And a good opportunity, I think, for him to go to a club that I think is on the up under Graham Potter and maybe make, you know, a significant impact. And then whether that's a sort of permanent deal to West Ham, he kind of finds his feet at Brighton or moves on elsewhere. But I wouldn't be surprised if Ferguson does quite well with the Hammers.
Dan, what about you? What caught your eye?
I mean, a lot of the deals are obviously loan deals, and I would stick with Villa. Villa, for me, have had a pretty good window. I mean, we can argue about whether Rashford's going to be able to be, you know, got back to anywhere near his potential and his form. But the deal, Disasi solves a big problem for them, you know, in defence. So that they've had, you know, issues there with injuries and Diego Carlos going, you know, a gap that needed to be filled. And Asensio, for me, looks, you could look at the wealth of Champions League experience he's got with Real Madrid and PSG. That looks, for a club going into the, you know, the last 16 of the Champions League, looks a brilliant addition for me for them.
I think certainly in terms of the EFL for me, I mean, the likes of Burnley and Sunderland, you know, bringing in impressive deals. But I also thought Middlesbrough as well, Samuel Illing Jr. and Kelechi Iheanacho to try and stake their claim, of course, for a playoff spot. I think there's certainly been a big load of transfer activity, which could have a big impact, of course, on the remainder of the season. We're going to concentrate now, of course, on the FA Cup fourth round, and our big match of the weekend takes place at Villa Park, a 5:35 kickoff on Sunday evening. It is Aston Villa against Tottenham in an all Premier League tie. Villa 4-5 to win, Spurs 3-1, and the draw is 29-10. And Mark, you've touched upon there by Dan in terms of the business that Villa did before the transfer window closes. Maybe a sign, I felt, that Unai Emery believes that this is a big chance for them to win silverware this season.
Yeah, maybe. I think I thought it was more a case of, you know, trying to get back in that in the top five and qualify for the Champions League again next season. You know, they're not that far off it. I also felt like it was a sign that you know, they were running on empty slightly and needed just freshening up. I sort of disagree with Dan on Disasi. I thought he was like an accident waiting to happen when he played for Chelsea. So it might have just been the wrong club, or he just had a bad spell. But I think he needs to up his game. And as do Villa, because that performance last week against Wolves was absolute stinker. A derby game, Wolves were just, more up for it, essentially. And, they haven't been able to juggle Champions League and sort of domestic matters. They've got a poor record after Champions League matches. So maybe Emery's just thinking, I need more bodies in the squad. I need to be able to rotate more because, what they were doing wasn't quite working. Done well in the Champions League, and they've done well domestically, but not after Champions League games. So, you know, maybe bringing in those extra bodies just helps to fight on multiple fronts.
I think obviously injuries as well, Dan, have probably told, you know, taken their toll a little bit this season. I mean, Ollie Watkins has kind of been in and out in terms of fitness, and, you know, bringing those fresh legs in are going to be crucial, especially with them still, of course, have that Champions League campaign.
Yeah, I also think it was crucial that there was a lot of attention on that Celtic game, wasn't there, for them to, you know, they played pretty well in it as well. We, you know, raced into the lead, were pegged back and then went again. And I just think physically and emotionally, that was a big deal for them to get that done and not have, I mean, you look at their February schedule now, doesn't look too bad. They've got four more February matches. So there is a little bit of a chance now for them to kind of recharge mentally and physically and get their league form back on track.
Tottenham, with more injuries to contend with this week, Mark. I mean, Dragosin has done his ACL now. He's going to face a long spell out, and they've had to do some transfer work as well. What did you make of the arrival in particular on the deadline day?
Yeah, I felt that actually they've brought in two good players. Whether they should have been brought in earlier, you know, I think most Spurs fans think that they should have done, because they've dropped a lot of points in the Premier League, and those players that were fit, I've just had to keep going you know, and play every match. So are probably more tired than they should be. But if you just take the two signings sort of individually, Danso, you know, got a lot of experience now. He's played at high levels, one of the best defenders in France, you know, just quite a solid centre-back, and will be needed with Van de Ven still not fully fit and Romero also injured alongside Dragosin. So I think he adds a crucial body in there, and he's a bit plug in and play. He speaks English. He sort of came over to England, I think, when he was like six or seven. So he's played in England before as well. So, you know, sort of a different type of signing, really, to the ones that Tottenham have been making recently. And then Tell is at the other sort of end of that scale, really. Another young player, somebody that's really talented. There's no doubt that sort of this time last season, I think that, you know, Bayern Munich felt they had an absolute superstar on their hands. Vincent Kompany doesn't seem to rate him as highly as, say, Thomas Tuchel did, and he's found it difficult for minutes. But if he gets to the levels that he showed sort of at spells under Tuchel, then I think Tottenham have got, you know, potentially devastating sort of counter-attacking player and somebody that they've missed up front. So it's more about potential with Tell. I suppose time will tell whether it proves to be a worthwhile signing. I think Danso's a solid one.
And if you look at what happened last time, a much-needed Premier League win, Dan, at Brentford, and it was a bit of a more, I suppose, a different performance from Tottenham. I mean, they ground it out, which I suppose quite a few fans have probably been hoping for from time to time. I mean, can they build on that now?
Possibly. I mean, they have been, I thought, a similar performance that didn't, I don't think got the credit it deserved, really, was against Liverpool in the first leg of the semi-final, the League Cup semi-final. That was a grind-out performance and a deserved 1-0 win. I thought, you know, that showed that with all the players out, there is a capability there, you know, where if the tactics are right and the energy levels are there, that they can be a bit harder to beat and harder to break down. And they showed that again against Brentford. In between, there's a lot of performances where they haven't showed it, but you know, at least you know, with that attitude and with Danso coming in will help. I would still argue that they're at least one centre back short, because the talk was that Spurs are short of a centre back, and that was before Dragosin got this long term injury. So you've lost Dragosin long term, Danso's in. To me, that leaves you in a similar situation, which is that you're still a centre back short, especially bearing in mind Van de Ven and Romero's injury record.
Yeah, well, just remind people that we are recording this prior to the EFL Cup semi-final second leg. Spurs, of course, in action at Liverpool on Thursday evening. I mean, before we get your best bet, Mark, I mean, this is a big opportunity for either of these two teams, aren't they? Because I was making a note earlier, obviously Arsenal are already out, been knocked out in the third round. Four more Premier League teams are going to be heading out for definite because of all Premier League ties in the fourth round. This is a big chance of going deep in this competition, whoever wins this tie.
Yeah, it is. You know, they'll be both disappointed, really, that they've drawn each other. You know, there's inconsistencies in a lot of the other sides. Even someone like Chelsea, that a couple of months ago looked like they were really putting a run together, don't look quite as good anymore. You know, you've got somebody like Newcastle possibly distracted by being in a League Cup final. Now there's European commitments that are set to kick in for Liverpool, and it'll get, you know, really serious. So, yeah, absolutely an opportunity for either of these two teams. I'm actually going to go for Tottenham or draw double chance in the 90 minutes. I would be concerned about the fact that they've got this huge game on Thursday at Anfield. And that's why sort of the 90-minute bet rather than to qualify, because I think the longer it goes on, the bigger a threat Villa become. But not mad on Villa's recent form. Only one win in their last five. That was against Celtic. And even before that, their three sort of victories on the spin were all by one goal against Leicester, West Ham and Everton, who all had their issues at the time. Just think that they've got sort of defensive problems themselves at the moment, and that there's a definite doubt about Watkins' availability as well. So, I think Spurs have had a good recent head-to-head against Villa, and they might be able to extend that at least to extra time.
Okay, Dan, what are you thinking here?
No, I'm going to go with Villa. I just think that the timing for me couldn't really be much worse for Spurs to have to go to Liverpool for the second leg, the League Cup semi-final, and still the squad. They were kind of hoping to go to Liverpool with, a while back. It looked like Van de Ven and Romero would both be fit. You know, neither of them are in the squad. You know, so you're looking at where the squad's going to be at for the weekend. You know, how much they're going to have to give in this Liverpool game. Could even go to extra time. You know, how much, you know, mentally and physically are they going to be able to give? I mean, if it goes the wrong way, you know, it could be a mental issue as well in terms of being knocked out, losing such a big match. And the other side of it, if Spurs get through, obviously that would give them a massive boost. But then you kind of wonder how much are they going to put into an FA Cup fourth round tie if they're already looking forward to a final, you know, in the EFL Cup. So I just think Villa, they were poor against Wolves. I think having a week, you know, to refresh and recharge is good for them. They are unbeaten in 10 home games, so they're a lot stronger generally at Villa Park than away from home. So I just think Villa will be too strong.
Just a reminder, it is at Villa Park, Aston Villa against Tottenham, a 5:35 kickoff on Sunday. Time now for the best of the rest in terms of the FA Cup fourth round fixtures. And we'll start off on Friday evening at Old Trafford. And it's going to be Friends Reunited as Manchester United play host to Leicester, who, of course, have a former United star Ruud van Nistelrooy in charge these days. United are 3-1 on to claim the victory. It's 13-2 Leicester and 19-4 the draw. Instantly, you look at that, Dan, to me anyway, and think 3-1 on for a very unpredictable Manchester United team at the moment, who are coming in off the back of another home defeat last time out.
Yeah, I've got to admit, I can't get enthused by that price, Warren. It's just considering the limitations of them, and they've struggled really to do much in the January in the winter transfer window. Really seem to be more focusing on getting players that are on big money, you know, at least partially off the books. You know, with Anthony and Rashford leaving on loan, I just think they're very restricted at the moment by FFP in what they would like to be doing. And having said that, you know, Leicester, I do think this is a bigger deal to United than it is to Leicester. To have gone to Arsenal and put the effort in they did and got through, I don't think they're going to want that to go to waste here in this game. They've beaten Leicester in the EFL Cup at home already comfortably. I just think the way to get the price here, United don't score a lot of goals. They've, you know, been playing Kobe Manu as a you know, higher up the pitch. So they've obviously got issues up front, and I wouldn't fancy them to score bundles of goals. So I'm going to say they get the job done in a low scoring game. Man United and under 3.5 goals is the tip.
Mark, I've been speaking to some Man United fans recently, and they've been a little bit confused in terms of, you know, what Amorim has been doing selection wise. We said a few weeks ago the performance against Liverpool was an improvement. And then that FA Cup win at Arsenal as well. And then all of a sudden, he decides to chop and change things again. And Kobbie Mainoo starting up front last time out. I mean, it does get you scratching your head.
It does. I think Amorim did that to try to prove a point to the ownership at United, whether he was thinking longer term for the summer or whether it was just the January transfer window. But he was basically saying, I need a new forward. And, you know, I don't trust Højlund and Xerxes. I think we've seen his probably not good enough to lead the line for Manchester United consistently. either. So we've seen other managers do that in the past. Harry Redknapp was an absolute master at it, of kind of just showing everybody what the squad was missing just before a window was shut in. So I think that was what was behind it. But I expect United to revert to one of their normal forwards. You know, Hoyland would be a better option than Maynou up front. Hopefully me and Dan can both have a winner here, but it's a very narrow window because I'm going for Man United and over 2.5 goals. They've already beaten Leicester comfortably twice this season. Leicester, just so poor defensively. Last 15 games, they've conceded at least twice in 13 of those. And I agree with Dan, really. I'm not sure that this is way up on their list of priorities either. So I'm not expecting a fully focused Foxes.
Well, let's move into Saturday's FA Cup fixtures now. And we'll start off with one of the early kickoffs. It's a 12:15 start at Brisbane Road for Leighton Orient against Manchester City. Mark, Orient have shown this season that they're a team going places at the moment, and you know, you'd expect probably City to win on the face of things, but are they playing them at a good time?
Well, you could argue it's a good and bad time. I mean, they'll want to react to what happened at the Emirates on Sunday. Orient have had a few injuries themselves. Richie Wellens didn't cover himself in glory the way that he explained those injuries last week, got himself into trouble with the club and had to issue an apology to Postecoglou on Saturday night to keep relations sweet, because Orient, sort of two of their best players, play for Tottenham, and he was digging Postecoglou out. I think that City to win both halves was the way I was looking at this. I am expecting a reaction. You know, and Orient have got injuries as well, certainly did last week against Stockport. And I just look at City when they're played against kind of EFL teams in the FA Cup in last couple of seasons. 8-0 against Salford in the last round. 5-0 against Huddersfield last season. They beat Bristol City 3-0, Sheffield United 3-0, Swindon 4-1, and they won both halves on all of those occasions. Got a big game coming up against Real Madrid, so I mean, they'll want to get this one done nice and early, and I expect them to come out firing after what happened against Arsenal at the weekend.
As Mark said there, Dan, it was something of a cricket score against Salford. You know, anticipate Leighton Orient will give them a tougher test.
Yeah, I fancy Man City to quite strongly to get the job done here. But what I would say, I never really fancy them at the back these days. And even against lower league opposition, the Salford game that you mentioned there, Salford actually had 10 shots in that game and, you know, and had some pretty good sights of goal. So they could have easily, like, you know, had a consolation goal or two. And I think Orient are probably, you know, given that they've got a few injuries. I would also mention that the lone player they got in from Swansea, Azeem Abdullahi, he's cup tied, and he came in and got a hat trick in the 6-2 when they got Exeter. So that's another bit of a blow for Orient. But they've gone from 21st in the relegation zone to 6th since the start of December in League One. A remarkable rise for them. So they're still going to be feeling pretty confident. One of the lone players Mark mentioned, Jamie Donnelly's been superb for them in an attacking midfield role. They've got Kelman up front. They've got some pace in the side as well. I just think that they're capable of scoring. And against the City side, I think it is going to be largely second string. You've got Real Madrid coming up 3 days later. Kusunov, had a really poor debut, didn't he, when he played against Chelsea. He'll probably get, you know, a start and some more minutes. But City, they're going to have a strong starting lineup, an even stronger bench, and they'll get the job done eventually. City to win and both teams to score is my bet.
City, by the way, 10-1 on to claim the victory. Leighton Orient 22-1, and the draw is 8-1. We'll move into the 3 o'clock kickoffs now on Saturday as we look at the best of the rest of the FA Cup fourth round ties. And let's start with the game between Coventry and Ipswich. Frank Lampard's got Coventry moving in the right direction, Dan, and Ipswich, you could argue, might well be playing them next season at this rate. How do you see this one going?
Yeah, I mean, that's possible. I think Coventry are, they're in among a bunch of clubs in the Championship that is so congested from sort of like the around about fifth or sixth place all the way down to lower mid-table, and Coventry in that bunch. They lost 2-0 at home to Leeds on Wednesday night, so that didn't do their playoff hopes any good. But I would also mention a key signing that they made, Matt Grimes, a midfielder from Swansea. He's cup-tied, so that's a bit of a blow to Coventry. And I just think the game comes at a tough time for them. I mentioned the game against Leeds. They're also playing you know, next Tuesday as well in the Championship. And as you mentioned, Warren, they are trying to push for the playoffs. Ipswich, it comes in the middle of a 2-week gap in the Premier League. So while the FA Cup isn't a priority for Ipswich, I'm not sure they're going to want to be, you know, having their main players going 2 weeks without any minutes. So I think it'll be quite a strong Ipswich team. Coventry probably resting players for the league game next week. And that, for me, makes Ipswich a bet. I'm going to go with just Ipswich to win the game at odds against.
Yeah, the 5-4 Ipswich to win. Coventry 9-4 and the draw 9-4. I suppose it wouldn't be seen as that much of an upset if Coventry won, Mark.
No, it wouldn't be. You know, there's not many league places between them, and sort of top end of the Championship, right at the bottom of the Premier League, wouldn't be a huge amount, you know, between them. I think Coventry, like, they got sort of sucked into cup battles, didn't they, last season? Had they not, maybe they would have, you know, come up and, you know, been knocking on the door the last couple of years under Mark Robbins, Lampard in there now. But I sort of had basically the same things written down as to why I fancied Ipswich, as well as what Dan's just said. So I'd just be repeating what he did if I went into too much detail. But yeah, I agree with Dan.
Okay, well, one of four all Premier League ties takes place at Goodison Park at 3 o'clock on Saturday. Everton against Bournemouth. It could arguably be the last ever FA Cup tie at Goodison. Everton 15-8 to claim the victory. Bournemouth 29-20 and the draw 23-10. To me, looking at this on paper, Mark, it's a tough one to call.
Yeah, I've gone for the draw in 90 minutes. I thought Bournemouth were a bit unlucky against Liverpool, and on another day might have got something out of that game. You know, it was 2-0, but there were a couple of moments that just went against Bournemouth. Clivert missed a good opportunity. There was penalty shout. You know, just the quality of Salah as well just was the difference. And Everton, for all that they've improved under David Moyes, haven't got anybody like Salah in their ranks, but I would say they've won four of their last five since Dyche departed. There's a kind of feel-good factor back around the club, so they do need respect. And yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if this went all the way to pens. Hopefully Bournemouth get through, because they're one of our two sort of FA Cup picks. But yeah, it could have been an easier fourth round tie, that's for sure.
Yeah, especially Dan, as Everton seems to be finding the back of the net finally.
They are, yeah. I think it's a tricky tie for Bournemouth, but having said that, I still think it's one they can get through. They've played Everton twice this season. They're a little bit lucky, I thought, in the first one near the start of the season when they were 2-0 down and got three late goals, didn't they, to win 3-2. Mm. Much more comfortable victory, although it was a 1-0 at home, you know, in the game that was at Bournemouth. And I just think they'll beat them in the cup as well. I think if Bournemouth were going to, you know, at all, like, you know, not take the cup really seriously, they would have done it in the last round. They had a load of injuries going into the game at home to West Brom, and they went with a really strong team, you know, and won, you know, what could have been a tricky tie, 5-1. I think Everton will also pick probably close to their strongest team in, you know, what could be the, you know, the last, you know, FA Cup tie for them at Goodison. But I just think Bournemouth are a better team, really. We've seen that, you know, for much of the season. And at the odds, yeah, I'd fancy just backing them to win in 90 minutes.
St Mary's is the venue for another 3 o'clock game in the FA Cup. Southampton against Burnley. It's 3-4 Saints. The Clarets are 17-4 on the draw, 23-10. I would argue here that it would probably be more of a surprise if Burnley didn't progress than Southampton, Dan, to be fair, going into this game.
No, I'm actually going to go with Southampton here. It's another, a few of these Championship teams, there's a lot of Championship fixtures coming up next midweek, and I think that affects their chances in certainly the games when they're against Premier League teams who aren't playing until the following weekend. I think also Juric is going to, after getting that win at Ipswich, while it's, you know, it's you're clutching at straws a little bit in terms of staying up, it can make a difference when you win a big game like that. He's not going to want, you know, that feeling, that good vibe to disappear. So I think it'll go strong again and try and, you know, go for a strong team and get through to the next round. And I just think Burnley, they made a load of changes, Scott Parker, for the last round, needed extra time, you know, to get through the tie away to Reading. If he goes similar here, which I suspect that he will, they're playing against Hull in midweek. I think Southampton, with that bit of confidence they got from the win at Ipswich, will be too strong. Southampton to win for me.
It's a fair point from Dan, Mark, about, you know, these teams in the Championship at the top end of the table with so much to play for and so many games still to fit in, that will be a bit of a concern if you're thinking about backing Burnley.
Yeah, because realistically, Burnley, you know, are just not going to win the FA Cup. And I mean, you could say the same for Southampton, but I think their manager you know, if he's looking at sort of his long-term prospects, you've got sort of more chance of, if you can have a good cup run and sort of just bring a bit of a positivity around the stadium. But look, Burnley will make changes, but there's one bet that I think everybody loves to do with Burnley at the moment. That's back no goal scorer. They've had 10 nil-nils already this season. They've conceded once in the last 10 games. And you would have been weighed in midweek when they won 1-0 thanks to an own goal. So no goal scorer was still a winning bet. I mean, Southampton have tightened up at the back under Juric, or at least tried to. And in a game where I haven't got a strong opinion, I just thought it was worth pointing that out, that little stat.
I just wonder whether it's going to be like one of those Scooby-Doo episodes when Scott Parker pulls a mask off and he's Sean Dyche underneath instead. But Burnley continue to impress defensively. And as I say, they're at Southampton at 3 o'clock on Saturday. 5:45 kickoff, arguably for me, the sort of most looked forward to fixture, I think, of this FA Cup fourth round. It sees high-flying League One side Birmingham City up against EFL Cup finalist Newcastle. Birmingham 5-1 to claim the victory, 9-20 Newcastle, and the draw is 4-1. Can you give us hope of a cup upset here, Mark?
Yeah, I can actually. I'm going to go for Birmingham to win. I mean, they're a championship team in all but name, really. You know, they'll probably do well in the championship next season once they get promoted from League One. Newcastle had an absolutely massive game on Wednesday that they won. They're through, obviously, to the final now of the Carabao Cup. Deserve to beat Arsenal, but they put a lot of effort into that fixture as well. You haven't got to go back that far to have seen some sort of dodgy performances from them in the Cup. They needed penalties to see off Blackburn and knocked out by Sheffield Wednesday. The season before that, they were knocked out by Cambridge. They even conceded first against Bromley in the third round. Then Newcastle should win. You know, Premier League side, they're a good Premier League side, and you know, they deserve to be odds on. But if we're looking at where an upset might come, I just thought, sort of, you mentioned there 5-1, you might even be able to get a bit of 11-2. I thought that was an interesting price for you know, a Birmingham side that's you know, been spent heavily on over the last few months.
So up next at 5:45 on Saturday, Birmingham against Newcastle. Birmingham got plenty of firepower, of course, with the likes of Stansfield and even J. Rodriguez that they brought in recently as well. Dan, how do you think they'll fare? They're going to probably give it a real go against Newcastle.
I don't know, a top half championship team, because I think that's what Birmingham have got. I think they'd be around, I don't know, roughly 8th to 12th in the championship with the squad that they've got at the moment, you know, against a very strong Premier League team. Having said that, I just think that Newcastle, I think they're really up for the FA Cup as well. I mean, that game against Bromley, at half time, they went with quite a strong starting lineup anyway. And then at half time, when it was the game was level, they brought on Bruno Guimaraes and Anthony Gordon at half time against Bromley. And that's after they've had a busy period in the Premier League as well. So I just think they are really, they're gunning to do well in both domestic knockout competitions. Birmingham having a great season, don't concede many goals at all, so that's where I'm going to try and boost the price a bit. I don't think it's going to be a particularly high scoring game. I'm going to go with Newcastle and under 3.5 goals.
The late game on Saturday is at the Amex. It's an 8 o'clock kickoff for Brighton against Chelsea. Brighton 2-1, Chelsea 13-10. And the draw is 5-2. Just as we were starting to maybe doubt Brighton and wonder, you know, where these results are going to come from, they pop up, of course, with, you know, that win over Manchester United. And then off the back of that, they get thumped against Nottingham Forest. It's difficult to know, Dan, where they are at the minute.
Yeah, what I would say is that, I mean, obviously the Forest game was away, but their home form has been a bit of an issue for a while. They've not won in 5 home games, Brighton. Now Chelsea, as Mark mentioned earlier in the show, they have dropped off quite a bit, and I wasn't that in love with their performance against West Ham. Although they come from behind and 1-2-1, it kind of a deflected cross, wasn't it, that went in to give them the winning goal. I still don't think they're anywhere near firing all cylinders at the moment, Chelsea. But given that result and that Brighton's dodgy home form, and that's to lose 7-0. I mean, any team that loses 7-0, that takes a little bit of responding to, for me. I think Chelsea, even though they're anywhere near the best at the moment, odds against to win the game, I think they'll probably just have a bit too much.
Is there an argument here, Mark, that Brighton should be taking this very seriously, bearing in mind that you look at the sort of league positions at the moment and their form, and you're thinking, well, you know, have a real go at the FA Cup?
Yeah, I think that they will. I mean, they're mid-table in the Premier League, no chance of being relegated, don't look sort of consistent enough, I don't think, to get a league sort of European qualification spot via Premier League. So I expect them to be all out. And you would imagine as well that Hertha will be looking for reaction and, you know, get humiliated 7-0 at Forest. But, I mean, I don't know what he was doing last week, picking one central midfielder in the game. Like, they were really unbalanced. I'm not sure what the thinking was behind that. He obviously watches the team closer than me, so he would presumably have a good reason for doing it, but it clearly backfired. I like Chelsea to win this game. Chelsea are at their best when they've got space, and Brighton give you space. And you saw that, didn't you, at Stamford Bridge earlier on this season. Chelsea 1-4-2, just kept on knocking the ball over the top and scoring, essentially. It was quite easy for them. And, yeah, I think the best way to beat Chelsea is to, defend in numbers and try to frustrate them and just sort of make it difficult to get in behind. That's not really what Brighton do. So, yeah, Chelsea win for me.
OK, we'll move into Sunday's FA Cup ties now. And at 12:30, it's Blackburn against Wolves at Ewood Park. Blackburn 17-4. It's 7-10 Wolves and 27-10 the draw. Mark, where are you looking here?
Yeah, I thought Wolves' shade of odds on was fair enough. They won a similar game at Bristol City in round three, and they played well against Villa last week. So a Wanderers win for me.
If ever there was a team that summed up the madness of the Championship, I'd suggest it's Blackburn, Dan, because, you know, one week they're capable of beating one of the top four, the next week they lose to one of the bottom four.
Yeah, I mean, the Championship is a bit mad in that playoff race because nobody seems to... most of the chasing teams there don't seem to be winning any games, and Blackburn have stayed in there and in the playoffs. And they've lost four of the last five games, which is remarkable, really. And they've got a really big game on Tuesday, playing against sixth place West Brom, and that feeds into my tip here. I just think they're going to be much more bothered about the outcome of next Tuesday's game against West Brom. The riches are getting into the Premier League. It's, if you're a Championship club pushing promotion, supporters might not want to hear it, but that is the big deal for them rather than an FA Cup fourth-round tie. So I just don't think... They have got a lot of injuries at the moment, Blackburn as well. So if John Eustace does kind of mix things up a bit, you're not talking about, you know, really strong senior players, you know, coming into the side. And Wolves, I mean, they won a tricky tie against a Championship team in the last round, 2-1. Bristol City deserve winners. Villa weren't at their best last weekend, but from a Wolves perspective, it's a very strong performance and a good win for them, that 2-0 win. So a little bit of an upturn in Wolves' form, and I agree with Mark. I think shade of odds on, they're well worth backing.
At 3 o'clock, it's bottom of the Championship, Plymouth against top of the Premier League, Liverpool. Plymouth 16-1 to win the game, 6-1 on Liverpool and 6-1 the draw. Is the gulf in positions in the league a strong indication of what's going to happen here, Dan?
Yes, I think Liverpool certainly, you know, win the tie. How you find a bet out of that and boost the price. I'm going to go with Liverpool and both teams to score. Reasoning for that, I think there will be a lot of Liverpool changes, you know, off the back of the Spurs, the second leg of the EFL Cup semi-final against Spurs. So you're looking at probably a second string Liverpool side. Plymouth, I think, will have a go. I mean, they got the 1-0 win at Brentford in the last round, went with a strong team, and I think they'll go pretty strong again. And that win at Brentford, it wasn't actually that fortunate. They played pretty well and, by all accounts, deserved to get the win. They've had a bit of a turnaround in results as well. They had a deserved 2-2 draw away to Sunderland, then gone and won 2-1 at home to West Brom. So as much as they're bottom of the Championship, there are signs of a bit of improvement under Muzlic, the new manager. However, Liverpool, even their second string is going to be probably too strong, and they'll have big players on the bench. So I think Liverpool's second string defence may concede, but they'll get the job done.
Yeah, it's a fair assumption, Mark, that Liverpool will make a number of changes, you'd feel, going as well off the back of the tie with Accrington Stanley when they did similar.
Yeah, and you've got Everton in midweek, haven't they, in the Premier League, which is a massive game. So they went through the motions against Accrington. This will be slightly more difficult because you know, you're playing the team in the Championship rather than League Two, and you're at Home Park rather than at Anfield. I just think that Liverpool, very controlled team, doesn't matter who plays, they're very calm and won't sort of turn this game into sort of anything like sort of, you know, chaotic fixture. They'll just do enough to sort of get themselves through, but to save energy for Everton in midweek, I'm going for Liverpool and under 4.5 goals. I think that's around about 8-13, that price.
Well, the last of our selected FA Cup ties to look at is on Monday evening, and it's at the Keepmo Stadium, where Doncaster of League Two take on Premier League Crystal Palace. Doncaster 10-1 to win this game, 4-1 on Palace, and 5-1 the draw. With Palace starting to show a bit of form here, could they be a FA Cup threat, Mark, this season?
Yeah, they could, yeah, because, I mean, they are a slightly, you know, if you went to Selhurst Park for, say, a quarter final, you wouldn't particularly fancy it. And we know that even away from home, they're capable of taking reasonable size scalps with the way that they play. I'm going to look at their forward. Nobody better than Jean-Philippe Mateta at the moment. He's 5-4 to score in this game. Got 6 goals in his last 5 appearances. So he started the new year very well. I've got to keep a keen eye on Doncaster, because I've backed them to win the League Two title. So I'll probably follow them sort of more than just about anybody else in the EFL. And what they don't do particularly well is keep clean sheets. Only 2 in the last 15. Play some decent football, but you know, that becomes a problem, I think, when you come up against a team like Palace. And Mateta, he's the one that leads the line and sort of makes the best of that work, whether it's from Eze or Star or the wing backs. You know, there's a bit of creativity in that Palace side, and yeah, Mateta odds against the score.
I think, Dan, it's fair to say Doncaster will give it a go, but will they have the quality to sort of cause Palace problems?
I don't think they will do, really. No, I mean, they played a Premier League team, Everton, in the League Cup earlier in the season, lost I think 3-0 at Goodison. I think they played Everton actually the season before in the same competition and lost 2-1 at home. So they've had a fairly recent experience, McCann's Doncaster, of playing against top flight teams. I just think it's such a massive gap. We talk about the gap between the Premier League and the Championship. You're talking here, you know, a team in the Premier League that are actually on a very good run now. They're 13 points above the relegation zone, Palace, against a strong League Two side. What I would say, I think Palace don't score loads of goals. They've only scored more than 2 in 2 of their matches, you know, in all competitions the entire season. They will go strong. You pick like Eze and Sarr in the team when they won 1-0 at home to Stockport in the last round. But as I said, that was against a third tier side. They only won 1-0. So I can see another Palace win, but fairly low scoring. So I'm going to go Palace and under 3.5 goals odds against.
Just a reminder, that game is on Monday evening at 7:45. Next up for us, it's the EFL.
The big punting survey is back. Punters, it's time to have your voice heard on major betting issues. Plus, you'll automatically be entered into a prize draw for one of 5 £50 Amazon vouchers. Visit racingpost.com/BPS or scan the QR code to take the survey today.
Well, our match in focus in the EFL this week is in the Championship. It's a team looking to try and get promotion against the team trying to stay in the second tier, as Sheffield United face Portsmouth at Bramall Lane at 3 o'clock on Saturday. We'll look through the prices at the moment, but we've talked a little bit about the Blades down in the last couple of weeks, because they've struggled for goals, have been hit by injuries. They've made quite a few signings during January as well. 5 players, no fewer than, coming into Bramall Lane. Is that going to get them over the line, do we think, or are we still a little bit concerned in terms of the squad?
Yeah, I'm not sure they will get over the line. I think that they've signed a few players, as you mentioned, Warren, towards the end of the window. But I think the injuries they've had have exposed a bit of a lack of depth in the squad. And they're still picking up quite a lot of good results, but they've not been that convincing in a lot of these games. The standout defeat was the 3-0 I watched on a Friday night at home to Hull, when they were really poor in that game. Last weekend, they went and won 1-0 at Derby, who had lost 8 in a row. But actually, that was a real hard work for them to get the win. Derby had quite a few chances. So I think at the moment, at the odds, they're probably a team probably to oppose. And Portsmouth are not great away from home, this has to be said. However, you know, with some of their results against the top teams, they've drawn 3-3 away to Leeds right near the start of the season. and draw 0-0 at home to Sheffield United, 0-0 at home to Burnley. So that's like the three top teams in the division they've got draws against. They have got an issue with, they do like to press high, even in away games, and that can cause them problems. But I think if they kind of get the block and the tactics right, I can see them here being competitive. The 0-0 recently at home to Burnley, they won the shot count 18-14. I think if they can play to a similar level, I think they'll be competitive. So I'm going to go with Portsmouth or draw double chance as the wager.
Yeah, Sheffield United, by the way, 2-1 on to win the game. It's 19-4 Pompey, and the draw 7-2. Portsmouth now 3 points clear of the drop zone in their attempts to stay in the Championship. So that is the main match in focus this weekend. But time now for Dan's EFL selections, where he'll pick us his three best bets across the EFL this weekend. And where are we starting first, Dan?
I'm going to start in the Championship. West Brom odds against at home to Sheffield Wednesday catches the eye for me. Now, there's only 2 points between the teams. That congested Championship table, as I mentioned, West Brom 6th, Sheffield Wednesday 10th. But I think West Brom will be delighted by the end of the transfer window. There was a lot of speculation that Tom Fellows, who's a key winger for them, was, you know, was talk about him moving to Everton. Didn't actually happen. And they also brought in Adam Armstrong on loan from Southampton. And that's boosted what already looked like a really strong attack for them. You've got Mikey Johnson also on one wing. Madger, who's been out injured, but you know shouldn't be out for too much longer. Last home game, they won 5-1 at home to Portsmouth. Won 4 of the last 5 home matches. And I just think against the Sheffield Wednesday team, that they've conceded, they've got the worst defensive record among the top 18. 46 goals they've conceded. I think that dodgy defence could let them down here. The second one I'm going to look at in League One, Blackpool away to Burton, odds against. Blackpool, I just think they're starting to get things going. Had a good win at the end of the window as well. Brought in Tom Bloxham, exciting attacker from Shrewsbury. Niall Ennis and Sammy Silvera on loans from the Championship. So they've got a lot of firepower they've added. Silvera and Ennis scored in the 2-2 draw at home to Charlton last Saturday. They're unbeaten in 7 matches now, Blackpool. And against the Burton team that I've actually picked up, they're unbeaten in 5. But Burton did ride their luck to win 3-2 at home to Reading in their last home game. I think Blackpool at home is quite a bit tougher, so I fancy Blackpool to win this one. Finally, going to drop into League Two, Colchester at home to Walsall. Colchester draw no better odds against, catches the eye for me. Now, Walsall have been dominating this division, but they've dropped off a cliff their form the last couple of weeks, and there's good reasons for that. The results, they've had a 3-0 loss at Bradford, a 2-0 loss away to Fleetwood, and a 2-2 draw at home to Salford, who are really injury hit. Now Walsall have also had a couple of big kind of outs for them up front. Nathan Lowe's loan was ended. He went back to Stoke. He's their top scorer. Jamil Matt, his strike partner, he's got injured. So it's removed for a team that goes direct and they relied a lot on the front two. You know, it's removed their two biggest threats. Now they have brought Ellis Harrison in on loan from MK Dons, but I don't think he's of the level of the players that I've just mentioned there. So I think this for Colchester, the run that they're on, they've been on a strong run recently. 10 points in the last 4 games, trying to push towards the playoffs. Great time for them to play Walsall. Colchester to draw no bet.
Great. Thanks, Dan. And we're going to put Mark in the hot seat next because it's time for his bet builder. And Mark, I think we're going to look to the game at Old Trafford, aren't we, in the FA Cup, Manchester United-Leicester.
Yeah, we are. Over 2.5 goals is the way to start this bet builder. If you have a look at sort of Man United against Leicester this season, 3-0 and 5-2 already, would expect something similar. For a comfortable United win in this game. But I don't think you can ever sort of necessarily trust United for a clean sheet, particularly with Martinez out long-term now as well. Going for Bruno Fernandes to score or assist. He's done just that in 8 of Manchester United's 12 home games since Ten Hag was sacked. And 3 of those sort of goals he scored came against Leicester this season at Old Trafford. So a very good record there. And then Tomori to be carded, the Leicester midfielder. Quite remarkably, really, he's gone 5 games without a card, but he's had 8 this season, and he did commit 3 fouls at Goodison Park last week, so was probably lucky not to pick up a caution. And United got a lot of tricky players in that midfield with Fernandes and Diallo, Garnacho, etc. So, it might be a tough evening for those Leicester midfielders.
So that's Mark's suggestion for the bet builder this week. He also likes to give us a prop shop selection as well. Just the one, Mark, this week.
Yeah, where it's the FA Cup, you know, you're never quite sure who's going to play. The bookies are quite slow on prices, and there's a lot of mismatches, which that doesn't make for sort of great prices. So I'm going to take a little bit of a flyer here. I'm going to go for Burnley to keep a clean sheet. Now, they might make changes, and you just wonder if that'll unsettle Scott Parker's side. But I mean, defensively, they're ridiculously strong. You know, they've kept 9 clean sheets in their last 10 matches, and you're getting 7-2 about them keeping a clean sheet. Now, they go up a level, of course, against Southampton. But what you would say about that is that they've kept clean sheets in both matches against Leeds this season. And I would argue that Leeds are at least as good as Southampton. They've actually kept 6 clean sheets in 8 in their matches against the top six overall. You know, 2-0 victory at Sheffield United. They've had nil-nils against West Brom and Middlesbrough, two of the sort of slicker sides, I'd say, in the second tier this season. So hopefully Scott Parker doesn't rip up the entire 11 players. And, you know, even if it's a mix and match side, that 7-2 might give you a nice run for your money on them keeping a clean sheet.
Yeah, they'll be playing to the same ethos anyway, won't they? And certainly fancy their chances of causing Southampton some problems. We are going to turn to the assist treble now for this week. Dan, we'll start with your selection first. Who are we looking at?
Yeah, going to go for West Brom at home to Sheffield Wednesday in the Championship. West Brom won four of the last 5 home games. They're more attack-minded now as well under Tony Mowbray. They really do, you know, play 4-4-2 with wingers and really go for teams. I just think they can beat, have too much for Sheffield Wednesday. They're pushing for the playoffs as well, but they've only kept 1 clean sheet in their last 9 games.
And Mark, who's your selection?
Well, I'm going for Albion's arch rivals, Wolves. So there won't be maybe too many people. You don't normally put Wolves and West Brom in your bet. Certainly the fans of those teams wouldn't. But yeah, I thought Wolves at sort of 8-11 to win at Blackburn was more than fair, really. They were very impressive against Aston Villa last week. And Pereira picked a strong side, I thought, in round 3 away to Bristol City, a game they won when Cunha was unavailable. You know, they've got, I think, enough quality to win this game quite comfortably, particularly if Blackburn decide to make a few changes themselves.
Okay, so West Brom and Wolves are the first 2 picks, and I'm going to go into League One, and I'm going to go with Lincoln, who are around about 3-4 to beat Cambridge at Sinsel Bank. Lincoln grabbed a late equaliser at Wigan last week. It just about keeps them in touch in the chase for a playoff place in League One. They've lost 1 of the last 5 in the league. And certainly, if you look at goal scorers as well, watch out for James Collins, who scored twice in the last 3 games for the Imps. As far as Cambridge are concerned, they're bottom of League One, fighting to stay up. And I don't always like going against teams who've got such a lot on the at stake, but they have only got 1 win in 10, and their away form is poor, not won any of the last 8 on the road, and have conceded 2 or more goals in the last 6 away from home as well. So Lincoln, for me, to beat Cambridge at Sinsel Bank. And we'll conclude this week's assist with the Naps. And Mark, we'll start with your Nap first.
Yes, yeah, so Man City to win both halves against Leighton Orient. When I was sort of writing out this bet, it was evens. By the time I'd finished, it had gone to 10-11. So hopefully it does hold up. But that is, I think, an eye-catching price. I think City will be revved up after what happened against Arsenal last week. Easy to forget, though, that when Erling Haaland equalised, I think most people would have said that you know, who's going to go on and win this game, would have said City. They had started the second half quite well. They finished the first half well, and it just had a mad spell that cost them the game, and sort of they were humiliated by the end. Pep Guardiola probably going to rotate, given they've got Real Madrid in midweek. But then you have a look at their bench. They had De Bruyne, Grealish, Gundogan, Rico Lewis, all on the bench at the Emirates. So if they bring those in, I think that should still be more than enough to beat League One Orient, who themselves are missing a couple of players.
And Dan, who's your Nap this week?
Yeah, going to go with Blackpool in League One away to Burton. Blackpool mid-table, but only 6 points from the playoffs in a congested table. They're better away than they are at home. 7 of their 9 league wins have come away from home, including the last 2 away games. Solid 3-1 win at Exeter and a 2-0 win at Lincoln. I think they'll have too much for Burton, who have fallen from bottom and have got the worst home record in the division.
Well, big thanks as ever to Dan and Mark for all their efforts and tips. Don't forget, of course, to like, subscribe and comment. We'd like to hear your views in terms of what you're backing or any questions that you might have for the guys as well. And of course, just a quick reminder that if you like your golf, not to miss the sweet spot every Tuesday on the Racing Post YouTube channel with Steve Palmer. We'll be back on Monday to look ahead to the Champions League playoffs, including Manchester City, Real Madrid and Celtic and Bayern Munich. In the meantime, enjoy your football this weekend and please remember to gamble responsibly.